The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
And joining us this Thursday for our Thursday interview is novelist Kaveri Madhavan. You are so welcome to the programme. And you're here in a very special role this week, aren't you? You've put on your ambassadorial hat.
That's right. I was very honoured to be asked to be one of the ambassadors for Irish Book Week this week, which is, you know, run by Bookselling Ireland. And it's basically to promote Irish bookshops, authors, books, Irish illustrators and Irish publishing. So, you know.
And there really is so much to celebrate in this country. When it comes to our authors, we can be extremely proud, can't we? And we're extremely proud of you. But you were born in India and then moved over to Ireland. What brought you here?
So I came as an accompanying spouse, really. I was only 23 years old, and as was my husband at that time. And we came because my husband had just finished his, just got his medical degree, and he wanted to be a surgeon. So he wanted to get the extra training and get his FRCS. So that's why we came to Ireland.
23 years of age, moving from India to Ireland. A culture shock?
It was, but I've said this before. It was a culture shock in reverse, really, because we came straight from, you know, a city. It was then called Madras. When I left, it's now called Chennai. It was a city of perhaps 8 or 9 million at that time, and we came straight to Sligo.
Which is, I don't know the population of Sligo off the top of my head, but nowhere near 8 million.
Yeah, I think it was about 15,000. So it was, it was a shock because we were expecting, I don't know, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll coming to the West, and it's like it was everything but, Ireland was everything but. It was such a different country then.
And were you at home there? Did you feel comfortable when you went there? Or was it so different that it's something that you would have struggled to adapt to?
I think we kind of very quickly felt at home, because very quickly we realised that, in fact, though they look very different in, obviously they are different in terms of size, but actually, you know, culturally, we are really very, very similar. Indian people and Irish people are very, very similar. You know, it's the same, you know, two countries at that time. And I suppose even now, quite obsessed with religion, even though they were different religions, but, you know, really obsessed with religion. And then there was also a huge importance on families. So, you know, what your uncle said or what your aunt said, or, you know, how well your cousins were doing versus how you were doing, all of that was the same. And this whole notion of, you know, not having notions and not letting your family down or not making a show of yourself, what will neighbours think, it was the same. Exactly the same in India. So it wasn't too difficult.
And did you have any family here?
No, not at all.
Did you know anybody?
No, nobody. It was just my husband and myself when we came. But, you know, we made friends fairly soonish. And there was a very, very small Indian community at that time. We were literally only 5 families. And everybody worked in the hospital. We all knew each other really well. And but, you know, very quickly we made friends very quickly with neighbours and colleagues at work and stuff like that.
And when did you decide to make Ireland home? When did you decide to put down roots here and to make Ireland the place where you were going to spend the vast majority of your life?
I think it was about maybe 12 years, 12 or 13 years after we came. My husband got involved and interested in a speciality, which was a new surgical speciality at that time. He got into vascular surgery, and in India at that time, all vascular surgery was still being done by general surgeons, and it wasn't something that he could pursue as a separate
speciality
in India. And he got a very good opportunity here, and so we decided to stay on.
And what did your family make of that decision?
Well, you know, I was very, very lucky. My in-laws were obviously, you know, hugely disappointed that their eldest son, who was a doctor and
the pride of the family,
Irish mammy style, you know, it was no different, that he wasn't going to come back. But my own parents, you know, my father was so generous in spirit. when we told him, and it was actually more poignant for my parents because we were only two of us, my brother and myself, and my brother unfortunately died in a car accident when he was only 19. So, you know, I was an only child, and us staying on meant that they wouldn't see me very often, and any grandchildren that they might have had, they already had grandchildren when we decided that, so it also meant that they wouldn't see their grandchildren as much. But my father was a very generous man because he said when we told him, the first thing he said to me was, never look back at your parents and make your plans, always look forward at your children and make your plans. And I thought that was very, very generous for a man who had, you know, lost a son and I was his only child.
So he celebrated your move to Ireland.
Yeah.
He saw it as something to be embraced.
Yeah, I think so.
And you had been working as a copywriter when you were living in India.
And then
you moved over to Ireland here. How long did it take you to sort of build up the confidence to say, I actually want to be an author, I want to be somebody who writes books for a living?
Yeah, I think that came from being a reader from when I was a child. And again, I give my parents full credit for that because we were a big reading family and they really encouraged us to read. And that's what, you know, all of Irish Book Week this week is about, is encouraging children to read. But my parents did that. And because I was a great reader, when I came to Ireland, I was jobless because I came as an accompanying spouse. I didn't have a visa to work. It was a time where Ireland was quite depressed. I mean, the economy was in a bad way and there was no jobs anyway. And so all I did was read because for the first 5 years, we didn't even have children. So I had a lot of time on my hand and I read voraciously. I continued to read voraciously. And I think when I was about 38, 39, I kind of just crossed that, you know, crossed the shore over to, you know, being a reader and saying, OK, I think I want to write as well.
Did you have that first story in you always, do you think, Kaveri? Were you holding that and just waiting for a moment when you would sit down, open up the laptop or the typewriter or the pencil and paper and put pen to paper?
Yeah, I think I did debate about writing the book that I had in mind for a very, very long time, maybe 9-10 months. But at the same time, I was actually looking at starting a catering business and I had already done a few gigs. You know, I had done a couple of communions and I'd done a 40th birthday and stuff like that. And so I couldn't settle between, you know, going down the catering route or going down the writing route. And my husband, I think, got so fed up one day and he just said, look, I'm going to take 10 days off and you head off somewhere and I'll keep the kids and you go off somewhere and see whether this writing lark is what, you know, suits you.
So I love that, this writing lark.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a really, really important part of your life and a very successful career.
Yeah.
And was that 10 days then, that 10 days that you got to be by yourself, you know, you'd nearly been given a deadline, make it work or we'll just move on to the catering.
Did
that change things for you?
It absolutely did, because when I had three children at that stage, so, you know, I had all my children at that stage. And so, you know, to get away for 10 days away from all domestic responsibilities and just be able to write, it was absolutely brilliant. And I loved it. And I was convinced within 5 or 6 days that, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. You know, Prakash, my husband, has been absolutely amazing in terms of support. Because, you know, I don't bring any money home from my writing. So I'm kind of nearly married to my patron of the arts, if you want to.
Was it important to you to use your experience of being a migrant in your writing, in your stories?
So I haven't actually, my first book was loosely based on our experiences. You know, it was about an Indian doctor who comes to Ireland and falls in love with an Irish girl. But the story wasn't a love story. It was more about what happens between him and his mother. And a lot of Irish people identified with it because it was what any Irish man would do if a lad headed off to Australia and decided to stay on with an Australian girl. So, you know, a lot of people identified with the story. I think Irish mothers and Indian mothers are very, very similar. So, yes, I did bring in our experience into that book, but not to the other books, you know.
And was that a very conscious decision that you wouldn't actually write about that experience, or you wouldn't write necessarily just about India, that you wouldn't be pigeonholed as that person?
Yeah, that as well as the fact that the ideas, the stories that I had, the next stories that I had didn't call for me to draw on that. Having said that, with my third book, The Tainted, you know, I did use the I did use my knowledge of Ireland, because in The Tainted, which is about the Connacht Rangers in India in 1920, and they mutinied, this Irish regiment mutinied in India. But there is a large chunk of the story is about Anglo-Irish people. And so, yes, just my knowledge of that, I definitely use that, you know.
But you've often used sort of historical figures, mm-hmm. haven't you, as sort of the centre point of your book, and you can see all of the research that you put into those. Why is this?
I think, Kira, because there are so many hidden histories. Mm. And every time I come across one of them, I think, God, I wish I'd started writing when I was 16. I might have time to write a few of them in any case, you know. The hidden histories, and especially the hidden histories between India and Ireland, are so many and so interesting and so unique, and also so unknown. And it's wonderful to be, as a writer, to reveal something to readers that they may not have known.
You mentioned a little earlier that your husband wanted to stay in Ireland, mm-hmm. because he wanted to specialise to become a vascular surgeon. And it's incredible to think of your own experience, yeah. a number of years later, that really called on that research, that expertise, that specialism that he had. Tell us about what happened to you.
Oh gosh, about 16 years, this September gone was 16 years since I had a stroke. And, you know, it was actually really quite, I was going to say stroke of luck, but I was very, very lucky that he was with me in our house in Glengariff when it happened, because very often I'd be in Glengariff on my own writing. This particular time I wasn't, he was with me, and I had a massive stroke. I lost my speech and was completely paralysed.
And you were downstairs in the kitchen, he was upstairs in the bedroom. He would normally have been having a good lie on asleep.
That's right.
But he came down.
Yeah, and that again was just a pure chance, because I'd come down, it was quite early in the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was there to write, but he was there to just chill. And he may not have got out of bed till at least 12. But for some reason, he came downstairs, because when I had the stroke, so I lost my speech, so I couldn't have called out to him. And it was just pure luck he came down. And even after having come down, he could have actually just made his cup of tea and, you know, turned left and gone straight upstairs. But he actually turned right and he looked down the corridor, and there it was. So.
And you knew immediately yourself.
I knew straight away
that it was a stroke that you had had.
Yeah.
You have actually quite colourful, quite vivid memories of that morning.
I do, because in the middle of all of that, traumatic stuff happened. There was also some really funny things that happened. Do you know, we had actually brought along with us a little kitten who was only, it was a rescued kitten. It had only just opened its eyes. And so my husband obviously realized that I had a stroke, and he rang for the ambulance. While waiting on the ambulance, he knew that he had to pack up the house, because he knew that we weren't going to be back in the house for a good long while, months, you know. So he had to pack the kitten, and the freezer had to be emptied and all of that. So he was doing all that, but he had actually asked two of our neighbors to come up and be with me. So two sets of neighbors came up, and it was the funniest thing ever. I just thought I was in the middle of a really black Irish film, because they stood on either side of me, and I think they were so shocked themselves. They didn't know what to say. So they just looked out and talked about the weather and what a good drying day it was.
And you obviously weren't able to communicate with them at that time, but you're listening, saying, could we please maybe just in this one instance not talk about the weather in Ireland, or sort of something a bit more major happening here?
Yeah, but it was actually, it just lightened the mood even in my own head, because I remember laughing to myself saying, this is so Irish.
And it's clear you're sitting across from me now that you made a full recovery from that. And I suppose people hope that if something like that happens to them, you know, because it could have gone the other way,
it could have,
that, you know, there's great lessons to be learned, that they approach life differently, that they're a different person. Did that happen to you at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it did.
100%. Because after I recovered and I had a miraculous recovery, I got my speech back. I have no, what medically they would say, I have no deficits except my absolutely beautiful, beautiful handwriting, which had been beaten into me by the nuns. My handwriting changed. That's the only thing that I was left with. You know, I am unable to write very neatly. I used to have a really beautiful script and I can't do that anymore. But apart from that, I did a huge number of things that I had never dreamt of. So I walked to Everest Base Camp. I walked the Camino. I started playing golf. I never say no to any trip or any opportunity that comes up. I always say yes, because sure, you don't know whether you'll be alive or dead tomorrow.
So it has changed your approach to things. You're ticking off that bucket list. You're just saying yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's actually not, sorry, that sounds like, you know, that sounds like that it's just a bucket list. I also changed my whole attitude to health. You know, I became quite health conscious in terms of managing my blood pressure, because I had undiagnosed high blood pressure, and it is a silent killer. And luckily for me, it didn't kill me. It just gave me a fright. And so I'm very sort of very, very conscious of my salt intake. You know, I've sort of let myself go a little bit with my weight, but I am conscious of my weight. I walk every day, and, you know, so I'm sort of, you know, that I think was the major change, was look, you know, because I realized that, you know, like, you could have everything in life, and if you don't have your health, then you're stymied.
Yeah. Very briefly, Kirby, what's the next book that you're writing? What is the next hidden history that you're going to uncover for us?
Okay. So my next book is actually it's back in India, and it's the life of a 90-year-old man. So it starts in 1930 and finishes in 2010. And it has three real sets of Irish people through the book, you know, one in 1930, one in the mid 70s, and then one in 2000s. Yeah, so.
Well, looking forward to reading that. Kaveri Manhavan, thank you so much for coming in and being our big interview today on The Hard Shoulder. It was really lovely to meet you.
Thanks, Kira. Go to bookshops, everybody.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.